This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you back. Professional handicapper and friend of the show, Scott Spreitzer, in studio there at the D, downtown Fremont Street. But we've got breaking news as we started the show. The Portland Trailblazers, involved in a three-team trade, have shipped Dame Lillard to play alongside Giannis to the Milwaukee Bucks. With that, we bring in our VSiN NBA senior analyst, and that is Jonathan Von Tobel, who's been part of VSiN since the inception. However, he's never done a spot from a airport bar, so this is going to be a first. JBT, what's up?
I don't know how you know that. That's actually untrue. This is, I think, the second or third time I've done one from an airport bar.
do you just hang out at airports? Anyway, we say hi, and were you shocked by the trade today?
I was kind of shocked in that, right, it's the last time we hear about this, it's Toronto that's the front runner, not Miami, and then, of course, it's Milwaukee who ends up getting him. So I wasn't shocked that it was dealt. I think it was kind of surprising, though, that Milwaukee ends up being the team. But, you know, when you kind of look at it in the rearview mirror, it does make some sense, right? We see all the noise from Giannis, all of the weird comments about the future and whatnot. And it seemed to maybe put some pressure on the Bucks to make a move. So kind of surprised, kind of not. I guess I'm just more surprised that we thought it was going to be Toronto initially after Miami, and now here we are, he's the Bucks.
How do you evaluate the Milwaukee Bucks now with the addition of Damian Lillard in that backcourt? No Jrue Holiday and Grayson Allen.
Yeah, you know, you're going to wonder, Amal, first and foremost, like, who's going to take on the primary assignment defensively for any priority backcourt guys, right, that you're facing. Jrue Holiday is one of the best defenders in the NBA. Actually, he's the best guard defender in the NBA. And so when you have opposing guards who can be really, really dominant, who's going to take up that assignment for the Milwaukee Bucks? I think that's, like, the big question for them. But it's going to work. I mean, you have two of the best players that respect the positions. You have two guys who are going to be awesome in pick and rolls together. You know, I put this in the article right now, but if you look at it, Damian Lillard, Portland last year, averaged 1.13 points per possession when Lillard was the ball handler in a pick and roll. Milwaukee averaged 1.09 points per possession when Giannis was the roll man in a pick and roll. So, like, those two guys together are going to be freaking awesome. They're going to be great on offense. And Giannis is still a great defender, so they're going to be okay on that end. You just kind of wonder what it looks like defensively when they do have a dominant perimeter scorer that you can't put Jrue Holiday on. But they're going to be really good at all. And I think they are rightful favorites to win the Eastern Conference at this point. And generally rightful favorites, I think, to win the NBA Finals, given just the way the rest of the NBA looks, outside of maybe, I think you can argue, Denver being ahead of them because they retained their starting five from last year.
Yeah, and the Bucks are plus 380 over at DraftKings, your favorite to win a championship, your favorite to win the East. Jonathan Von Tobel, senior NBA analyst, talking about the big trade. Tell me what you think about Portland and Phoenix. So Portland, Jrue Holiday, Ayton, a first-rounder, pick swap. We'll start there. What do you think about Portland's haul as they go young?
Yeah, I think it's the right move, right? And, you know, I was talking with Jeff Sherman over at Superbook, and, you know, it's funny, we always talk about, like, NBA Finals odds and conference odds and whatnot. But one of the moves that they made over there was to shorten the odds on one Scoot Henderson to win Rookie of the Year, right? Because now he's the guy, and he's going to have the ball in his hands a ton. So, no, I think it's the right move from Portland's perspective to do what they did. And you get young and you get a bunch of decent pieces, and who knows what happens with DeAndre Ayton. But I think they made the right move in taking this step. And we were all just wondering what it was going to be. And instead of getting, you know, another subpar defender along the perimeter and Tyler Hero who can shoot a bunch, you're getting at least Jrue Holiday who can then flip for more assets, and you're turning everything over to one Scoot Henderson. So I actually really like what they did.
Do we see any difficulty initially with Lillard coming in and an adjustment for a guy who's ball dominant, where the guards in Milwaukee tend to play through Giannis previously?
No, not at all. Look, Giannis is a ball dominant guy, Amal, but he's going to be able to play off ball, right? Like, that's, you have one of the best pick and roll ball handlers in the NBA. You're going to make that work with Damian Lillard. And there's going to be possessions where they're going to take turns, but Lillard's an awesome catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. So whatever Giannis is going to create on his own, he's going to work off the ball. It's not going to be, like, absolutely nothing. So, no, I think this is going to work perfectly well. And, you know, go back to his time in Portland, too. He shared the floor with guys like Anthony Simons who needed the ball in their hands a little bit, and it worked out pretty well from an offensive perspective. So, no, I don't think there's going to be any real issue, at least in terms of, like, continuity and making this thing work. Those two together, I think, are perfect in terms of the fit. I think they're going to be awesome.
Okay, before we say goodbye, Miami, your boy Jimmy Butler is going to get to prove if he truly is a superstar.
he is, because I kind of laugh, actually, right? Because it's kind of funny to watch them get burned like this. Everybody and their mother thought they were going to get him, and they end up on the wayside. So it's going to be a really big improvement for them because Max Strus is gone and Gabe Vincent's gone. But I also want to stress, guys, you know, before you kick me out of here, Phoenix made out really well in this deal. Like, we should not ignore what Phoenix got here. Yusuf Nurkic, Grayson Allen, Nasir Little, and Keon Johnson work wonderfully for a team that I actually think is a candidate to go over their win total, and they have an MVP candidate in Devin Booker. I love what this was for Phoenix as well. So while I laugh at Miami, I kind of look at Phoenix and really love what they did in this offseason. I think they made out like bandits.
John Von Model from the airport. Okay, now go sign some autographs. And then secondly, what's your airport beer? What did you order?
So I'm in Fresno, so they have like some like local brewery. So I did a Mad Duck Pub Ale. It was pretty good. I had a rough trip. I don't know if you guys know this, but my car, the alternator went out when I was driving. So I spent about 3 hours at 2 o'clock in the morning last night on the side of the freeway. So I needed it.
Oh, man, you should have called me. I can change an alternator with my bare hands. Jonathan,
where is the
thank
alternator
you.
Located?
At me? No, dude, I don't know. You know what? I know who's located? Dame Lillard's located in Milwaukee. That's what I do.
Right.
Okay, me, JVT on Twitter. You're the best. Good luck. Thank
See
you.
You.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Scott Spreitzer has a better idea. A professional handicapper, of course, on a Wednesday. The alternator, my friend. With that beard, it looks like you could change about two at once.
JVT's is obviously on the side of some road on the way to Fresno. But yeah, it's right next to the Carbon Dominator, right? So
yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. We were joking because the four of us, of course, here at Sharp Money, as we welcome you back, Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw, and Patrick Maher, and Scott Spreitzer. The four of us are in such football mode that we joked before we brought you on the big trade, Dame Lillard to the Bucks, and you said, next, kind of like Mike Palm said. But just a quick reaction, obviously it makes them the favorites in the East. It makes them your championship favorites. So Dame Lillard, I think Amal brings up a good point. You know, he is a selfless superstar, that being Giannis. So if Lillard needs to take the last shot, I think Giannis is going to be selfless enough to be cool with that.
Absolutely. That's why they got a chance to bounce back from last year, and they called it a debacle and things like that, the press in Milwaukee and all that. But the way you saw Giannis handle the disappointment, you know, the post-game press conference after the series was over was just phenomenal. And so they're so mature, that team. I think it's a great move for the Suns because DeAndre Ayton just didn't fit there. I know they wanted him out. They wanted him out for the last year and a half. He didn't fit. So I think the Suns, I like what the Suns did best, followed by the Bucks, and Portland's right there too. Got no problem at all with what Portland did in that. But so I think it's a benefit for all three teams. But I really like the fact that, they moved Ayton out of Phoenix. I think that's a plus, you know, addition by subtraction for the Phoenix Suns.
Patrick, real quick, I just think this is one of the few trades where you have multiple teams involved, and I think all three teams came out the better for it.
It's funny he brought up Ayton and the Phoenix Suns. Who hated someone more, Sean McVay and Cam Akers, or the Phoenix Sun organization and DeAndre Ayton? They couldn't wait to move that dude. Right now, the Bucks plus 390. I agree with what Amal said. I think it's beneficial for everybody here. You generally don't see that. The Nuggets plus 475. The Celtics 5-1 championship odds. The Phoenix Suns 6-1. And then you have a chasm, boys, with the Lakers at 12-1. You go in conference quickly. The East, the Bucks plus 165. Amal, that is short. The Celtics plus 225. No surprise. After the Celtics, you jumped to 6.5-1 with the 76ers.
Yeah, but you know what? I would bet the plus 165, and you said 225 on Boston, right?
Correct.
I would take a look at betting both those teams because I don't see anybody else. Who's the third team? Miami? Yes, Miami made it last year. But if you think back against that series against Milwaukee, they shot like a ridiculous 45% from the three-point line. If you're going to have to rely on beating me there, that's fine. I've got to win two series with Milwaukee. I've got to win two series with Boston, and I'm going to get a profit on that. Generally speaking, you don't want to be in a situation where you're laying those types of bets to be able to make a profit. But, guys, I just don't see. Even if one team is decimated by injuries, I still think the other team's going to be the one that emerges out of the Eastern Conference.
The Bucks are going to be scary, boys.
I agree with them all, by the way, across the board on what he just said. And I think unit on Boston, unit on Milwaukee at those two prices, and then you're just, you know, hoping you don't suffer any major injuries throughout the course of the second half of the season out of the postseason. But I think that's the win. I mean, listen, I always like Eric Spoelstra. I think he's the best coach in the East, maybe top three in the NBA, if not the top coach. So I always give them a fighting chance to knock somebody off in the playoffs that they shouldn't because of what he can do. But I agree with them all completely. A 1 year to play on each one of those two teams.
By the way, the Bucks have, across the four majors, they have two of the all-time temperament and headspace guys. Like Giannis and Dame Lillard, like it's just as far as dudes and being those type of guys, Amal, they've got, those are two of the best as far as mindset and just way they approach things.
Patrick, you're absolutely right, but I think there's a couple of factors involved here. If Giannis was a guy that didn't carry himself the way he does, he would have forced himself out of Milwaukee sooner. I think when you look at Tim Duncan when he was in San Antonio, even though San Antonio population-wise is a huge city, it's a smaller market for the NBA. For guys that play in the smaller markets, they bring a certain disposition to the table. I think it's been great. That's why you saw Dame in Portland for so long. Never really forced his way out until he kind of got to his wit's end about, hey, we're not getting to where I want to go. And you look at the same thing with Giannis. I think this is going to be tremendous. I cannot wait. The Bucks are going to get a ton of coverage this year, and deservedly so.
Can I quickly say what I don't like about this upcoming NBA season? I do not want any messing around with things that'll cause us to have a drop-off when it comes to NBA betting. If guys want to take three nights off in a row and they want to do that sit down and take a rest crap, load management, I'm all for it. Don't mess with what's been working against the spread. That's all I care about, and I'm really not happy about this. Now, if I'm a fan and I'm a dad taking my three kids, yeah, I want the stars to play. But, man, I love the way the handicap of the NBA has gone for the past 2 or 3 years.
There you go. Love to have Sprites are back. Load management, last Wednesday, we didn't see you, so it's nice to see you this week. Hey, big guy, I got you covered. The Knicks, 18-1 to come out of the East. Your thoughts?
He wanted 181.
I've done worse with it with money than that bet.
That is a man that's been beat down by technical issues. We're back with football next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
We were just talking about the big guy being hot. You can check out his picks. He sits atop the VSiN expert leaderboard, that being Dustin Sweetelson, over at VSiN.com/subscribe. You can sign up right now, $19. You get Amal's picks, you get Samish, you get, of course, the big guy, you get Wes Reynolds, you get everybody that's been on the show, including professional handicapper Scott Spritzer, who since September 11th, hitting at a 77% clip in college and pros. Why not sign up? You like money? It's VSiN.com/subscribe. We're back, Sharp Money. I'm Patrick Maher. He is Amal Shaw, the big guy. Dustin Sweetelson, and professional handicapper, 30 years there in Vegas. Scott Spritzer, Doc Sports, DOCSports.com, and at Scott Wins with two T's on Twitter. Boys, let's start with some college. We got a great one in the Pac-12. Amal, we'll start with you. Friday night, Utah at Oregon State. Boys, I'm fired up for this matchup. I know this is on your list as well, Scott Spritzer. Amal, I'll throw the number at you and we'll get the cap started. This coming up on Friday, awesome primetime game. Oregon State's laying 3.5, hosting Utah.
Yes, interesting spot here going up to Reser Stadium for Utah. This is a team that's played well out of the block with a backup quarterback. They had the good come from behind win against Baylor on the road in Waco. But to me, the question is now, can Nate Johnson do it again against a more competent team in Oregon State? The one concern I have when you look at it from a Utah standpoint, last week, they only scored 7 points on offense. Now, the Bruins' defense is better than maybe many people have anticipated. Oregon State got waxed. I shouldn't say waxed, but they lose by 3, but it was a competitive game at the end. But really, you felt like Wazoo was in control of that football game. Guys, I would look at Oregon State here as a home play or no play. As much as I love what this team has been able to do with the Utah Utes, I think it's a tough place to go. Jonathan Smith's done a tremendous job. DJ Uiagalelei, when you look at Martinez and Fenwick in that tailback position, I think they're a little bit more balanced. Revenge spot here for the Ducks. They got beat pretty comfortably last year by Utah, 42-16 in Salt Lake City. So a revenge in Corvallis opportunity here for this one. And Scott, if you don't play it before it starts, maybe an in-play possibility.
Yeah, I like it in the first half. Yeah. I like your full game, but I also like it first half, and that's what I like the best, I think, about this game, because I think Oregon State's going to be motivated after what happened last week. And you're right, they were down pretty big for a good chunk of that game, but they've kept on playing hard, and they were able to fight back. The reason I liked the first half was a couple of reasons, actually, is, first of all, I think they'll be ready to go in Corvallis, but also you look at Nate Johnson, the quarterback for Utah. I think he went 9-for-17 last week, so we know what they want to do. They want to run the football. And if Cam Rising was able to play, and this is the way I was looking at last Sunday night, getting ready for these games, I'm sitting there and I'm looking, I'm going, if he's able to play, he hasn't played in 10 months, 10 freaking months. And so it will take him time to get going if he was going to play. Last I saw, maybe you guys got an update, he's still questionable. But Nate Johnson, if he goes, he's not a guy who's going to throw the ball more than 17, 18 times. If Cam Rising gets in there and plays, hasn't played in 10 months, I like him in the first half, Oregon State, which is last I saw was like 2.5. The full game was what, three and a half?
Yeah.
And so 2.5 on that first half.
Yep, 2.5 is the number, 3.5 full game. And it looks like Nate Johnson, good to go, should be good to go. So that's where we stand. Big guy, you got anything on this one? Utah, Oregon State, 3.5 full game.
No, we still don't know the Cam Rising thing. Like, that's the aspect we're all waiting for. And obviously the number will be adjusted if he's announced that he's going to somehow play. I was just looking through the old X machine, and it's everyone asking the same question. Is Cam Rising going to play this week? Because it changes everything. I kind of like Scott's first half play on Oregon State laying the 2.5. I also like Amal laying it with Oregon State for the full game. I like the rebound factor back at home. And if anyone's going to be as physical as Utah can take at the line of scrimmage, it's going to be that Oregon State offensive line.
Okay, boys, I will tell you, and you can push back, but I don't know if there's a tougher spot than Notre Dame headed to Duke this Saturday. Night game at Duke. Duke's legit. We talked about it. Yes, Clemson had terrible red zone efficiency in that matchup to start the year, but Duke's legit. And Amal, I'm going to take, you can find a 6, okay? Just to kind of set up the number here. Notre Dame mostly laying 5.5. Shop for the best number, because if you like Duke like I do, and I love Duke in this spot, you can catch a 6. Notre Dame, 5.5, 6 at Duke, Amal Shaw.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned it. I think the toughest thing is not just you're going on the road to ACC country in Durham, taking on the Blue Devils, who've gotten up to a great start under Mike Elko and Riley Leonard, the job they've done. But more importantly, how do you mentally come back after such a catastrophic loss? That was a program-defining win, not only for Marcus Freeman, but for this team, Sam Hartman. This team has not been great in the passing game against elite teams. They'll have an opportunity against a Duke team that's susceptible a bit to the pass. Should expect the tight ends to play effectively here for Notre Dame. They've always done a great job. But Thomas Evans and Greathouse, these guys have got to be bigger contributors. Audric Estime should have a big day on the ground. We saw Will Shipley and Phil Maffa be effective against Duke's defense. Scott, it was self-inflicted wounds by Clemson that cost them the game. Mm. Duke's off to a tremendous start. I really like this team, the dynamic on this offense. But at the end of the day, to me, Notre Dame's the more complete football team. And if Notre Dame is as good as they played for about three quarters against Ohio State, they should be able to go to Durham and win this game.
Yeah, I want to play Notre Dame. I'm not going to lay 8 when it's 5.5. But what I was going to say is I actually, make this number 8 on a neutral field. Notre Dame 8 points better than Duke on a neutral site. Obviously, this is at Duke, so you're talking about a 5.5 point spread. You got to decide how much you think that home field is worth to this team. Nothing against Clemson, but the Irish have the most athletic, the best defense that Duke is going to have faced thus far. And I don't want to take away anything from Riley Leonard. He's played well, but he's going to deal with probably more speed overall. Clemson's good up front, but overall, more speed than he's seen on defense thus far. Hartman's been great. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't throw picks. 14-0 touchdown to INT ratio for the Irish. You said, I think, Patrick, you said this was a program, or maybe Amal did, program-defining game last week that they lost Notre Dame. Even worse, it was a coaching-defining game for me.
Yes.
When you have back-to-back plays at the end of the game where you can't get 11 men on the field, I'm on the phone. I didn't notice it the second-to-last play before the touchdown, but on the touchdown, the game-winning touchdown by the Buckeyes, I'm not counting players. I'm sitting in my living room, but I'm on the phone with Big Al McMorty, Patrick, and we both had Dame plus 3. And I'm like, something's wrong with his defense as they're lining up. And I said, I can't tell if they're out of position, what's going on. Something's wrong with his defense. If I'm seeing that on my TV, and I know I watch these a little bit more closely than the casual fan because I'm putting money on it, how do they not see this up in the press box? How does the DC not count that there's only 10 guys? Well, then we find out from Freeman, well, we knew there was only 10 guys, but we didn't want to move them a half yard closer to the end zone. Oh, come on, man. I'd rather have 11 guys and be half a yard away than have 10 guys on defense and be a yard away. I thought that was a bad excuse. So that bothers me, and for those reasons, because I didn't like the way the coaches acted before or after, I think the under to me is a little bit more of a draw, which is 52.5.
You can talk about the Fighting Irish being pissed, or in 2023 losing at home when everybody's watching with, what, 3 seconds to go, boys, essentially on the last play. They go straight to the locker room. They get on social media. They haven't been off social media since. Now they traveled to Duke. Big guy, I see you shaking your head. I just think this is emotionally such a gut punch for a bunch of 21-year-olds to get back up at Duke. I think it's a brutal spot.
Yeah, the 5.5 at home is interesting for me with Duke, just because I think, to your point, Notre Dame could just be like, what's the point of all of this? We just lost to Clemson. We had these high aspirations for the year. With the way our schedule is, we really have to be perfect, because there's just there's only a few opportunities for us as an independent to find our way into the playoff. But it does, it feels like a trap. Like, ultimately, that's what it feels like. It feels like a trap. Sam Hartman's played Duke twice in his career, and he's performed really well. Just 1-1, though. He lost last year 34-31. He won in 2021. Here are his stat lines from it. 347 yards and 3 touchdowns a year ago. 402 yards, 5 total touchdowns in the win 2 years ago. I think that plays a role in this. Sam Hartman being the veteran, his opportunity here going to Notre Dame and finishing off his college career. I'm going to stay away from this game, even though I very badly want to back Duke 5.5, but Notre Dame's got more ponies to win the race.
If I'm an administrator in South Bend, you know what I'm doing. Marcus Freeman loses this game, you're out. Offer a bunch of cash to Deion. Bring him in.
I tell you what, guys, though.
I don't hate that.
The rubber's going to meet the road here. They played a 3-0 Ohio State team. They got a 4-0 Duke team. If Louisville beats NC State, and I know Dustin likes Louisville in that matchup, they go to 5-0. USC beats Colorado and Arizona. They're 6-0. You're looking at a team that's playing these undefeated teams in back-to-back-to-back weeks. It could go well for them. It could get ugly. It could go well for them. So we'll see how things turn out. Big 4-week stretch for Marcus Freeman and the Irish.
I should note this, and I feel like we've talked about him maybe getting fired about 37 times now, but it is official. Mel Tucker has been fired by Michigan State. Like, no kidding, for bringing ridicule to the program. I bring that up. We got a minute here, Scott. Michigan State's at Iowa. Iowa off the tough loss at Penn State. They're laying 12.5, but you're talking about there's too much drama. You're still going to fade the Spartans here.
I decided when it all started, this scandal, that I was going to fade Sparty until they beat me, and so far we're 2-0 going against Sparty. They've been outscored 72-16 by Maryland and Washington. By the way, Washington at 20-1 to win the national title, not a bad idea. So I do factor that into the mix of who they played. And Iowa has, again, one of the worst offenses in Division I Power 5 football. Real quick, though, they gave up 67% passing. They gave up 10 yards per pass, 7 touchdowns. Their passing is, what, 52.5% with a touchdown and 4 picks. Sparty gets rocked again. I think Iowa scores maybe 23 points and covers this number.
They've been outscored 36-8 in their last two games by an average.
It's not great. But what is great is they got out from that extra 8 years they owed Mel Tucker.
$80 million.
Oh, my goodness. Lucky Michigan State. We're coming back with more Scott Spritzer next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money and the rest of the VSiN programs, the shows, were battling one another for a $1,000 voucher for a future ticket there at the Super Bowl. Thank you to Bill AD for putting the cash up, but we need your help. It's 40% off the football season special, which includes everything we offer, the kitchen sink here at VSiN. So sign up right now. You get 40% off. When you sign up, help us out by using that promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. We appreciate it in advance. And it helps you. It's going to make you some money, including those picks that we've been discussing, part of the package. You get Scott Spritzer's plays when he gives them to us. You get the big guy. You get Amal. You get Samich. You get the whole entire crew. So sign up right now, vsin.com/subscribe. We got you back here on Sharp Money on a Wednesday, smack dab in the middle of the week. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson out at the D. Scott Spritzer, professional handicapper. Doc Sports, docsports.com. Scott Wins on Twitter. With two T's. I heard you guys talking potentially about some lunch dates after the show next week. Now, the question is, there in downtown, where will the three of you go on Fremont Street, huh?
Dustin, Amal, you guys are down here every day. What have you tried so far?
The problem
where's the place?
Here's the problem.
I haven't had a carb in 72 hours, trying to avoid carbohydrates. So I might have to research this a little bit further to find some good meat-style places.
My answer
is... Are you in ketosis?
Not quite in ketosis yet. We're on the verge, though, any day now.
My answer is going to be off Fremont.
Off Fremont Street. I think that might be a wise decision. You can get one of those hurricanes and like it. You can get one of those drinks the size of you, Amal Shah, with the like you're in Cabo Wabo, if you'd like.
Do they still? I think I asked Dustin this about a month ago. It might have been off the air though. Do they still have the great shrimp cocktails at the Golden Gate? Which 20 years ago and before that for 50 years was like the thing to do. You come to Vegas, you go to Golden Gate, and you get yourself a shrimp cocktail. They were incredible back then.
Yeah.
Before Circa in the D, I'm curious, because you've been in Vegas for so long now, as a sports bettor, what was downtown a destination for? Was there anything that you would drive downtown for?
NBA numbers and lines before we started getting apps and stuff like that. So we're talking, I'm going to say early 90s, mid 90s, and there'd be a couple of us. We'd come down here. We'd leave the National Sports Services studios or offices, and we'd come down here about an hour and a half before the games would get going, and we would, at Las Vegas Athletic Club, Golden Nugget, Four Queens, we would jump from hotel to hotel looking for the best numbers, and we'd get out of our cars, usually park at the California, and then just start looking for numbers. And then we'd go, oh, by the way, I'm going to throw this out there because it just came to mind as I was saying, after we got done betting the NBA, we'd go over to the diner over at the California Hotel, and they had the best oxtail soup you've had in your life.
Did they?
And
sorry, go ahead.
I don't know if you guys have had that. I grew up on that stuff, and it's as good as homemade I've ever had in my life. So that might be minus $1.50 for me. Now, you guys can go, you know, get me to go out of that and go somewhere else. I can do that a different time, but that's some good stuff.
I'm in for a diner. I'm always in for a diner. A little variety, get anything you want. I will say that in downtown Vegas, I had two of the best meals I've ever had. Carson Kitchen 1. Mm-hmm. And then what's that other place? Esther's Kitchen?
Oh, Esther's, yeah.
Oh, man. Two of the best meals I've ever had in my life. I was going to suggest Carson Kitchen.
That's a good idea, too. You know, Patrick, I got to tell you, speaking of oxtail soup, on Charleston and Las Vegas Boulevard, guys, and I'm going back a few years, there was a Jamaican shop there. Stan Rankin-Tee, who's been in this town forever from Jamaica, has a show on KUNV, the university channel here, and he's had it for as long as I've been here. I've been here for 38 years, and it's a reggae show. Every Sunday, I think it is, for like 3 hours. Right next to his store, I used to go to his store and buy Jamaican albums you couldn't find anywhere else back in the day before the internet. Right next door, there was a restaurant. A lady was from Belize. And I'd walk in there to get their oxtail soup, and she'd be like, come on, my boy, come on, sit down at the table. And I'd sit there and I'd eat as much oxtail soup as she would feed me. And I was there probably twice a month. And I can't do the accent. I don't know what the hell I was coming up with there. But it was, you know, come on, boy, sit down. Come on, let me feed you.
I was hoping maybe we could coerce you into doing the rest of the show in a woman's Jamaican accent. That was in a female Jamaican accent.
I don't know what that was.
The only question I have for you, big guy, is oxbow soup, is that keto?
Oxtail, yeah, as long as I don't eat, like, any noodles or rice that comes with it, I should be good to go on that. Just a little, some meat, some fat, some broth, I'm good to go.
We can do something else until you're ready. We can do something else until you're ready.
And before we get to the picks, are you as excited as Amal Shah and Steve Fezzik and the rest of everybody there in Vegas about F1 coming to town, Scott?
I wish F1 would take a flying one. Listen, man, they're screwing up the strip so bad with all the construction. Nothing against the organization itself. It's just the fact that you got to go a year of dealing with construction cones and everything else. And I feel sorry for the folks that work on the strip and have to go down there that weekend. It's going to be horrendous.
Patrick, having lived in Miami, LA, Dallas, and Vegas, let's put it this way. It makes the 405 look like it's flowing.
It's not great. No, I've heard only nightmare stories surrounding the construction for F1. Okay, let's get back to the play. South Alabama, JMU, James Madison. This number's down to 3 at DraftKings with James Madison laying it, Scott.
Yeah, not overly happy with it being down to 3, but I still like South Alabama in this game. They run the ball. They stop the run. They ran for 243 against Oklahoma State in that big win. They jumped up 14-0 last week against Central Michigan after the first quarter. And it's like they hit that flat spot. It was like, oh, yeah, we just beat Oklahoma State by 26 points and did everything we wanted to running the football. Now we're up 14-0 against a bad football team. We got this one in our back pocket, and they went flat, and they got beat, and they got caught. But I think they bounce back here against JMU, and I think, you know, JMU's got a real good run defense, by the way, statistically speaking, but they haven't really played anybody yet. And I think South Alabama's going to be able to run the football against them here. When I talk about JMU and who they played, you're talking Utah State, Bucknell, Troy, Virginia. Virginia is the best of those teams, and we've seen what Virginia's done this year. But then Utah State's outside of everybody's top 100 when it comes to power ratings. Utah State gained 500 yards against JMU, and that's not a good team right now. And they were tied at 38 with 6 minutes to go in the game and had three interceptions in the game, Utah State, as I'm thinking about it, and still were tied at 38 with 6 minutes to go. You can throw all day long on the Duke. South Alabama, I think, should be able to run the football, pass the football. And there's a real cool, and people should probably look this up on Google, a real cool metric out there. It's not one of my original or my own that I created, but it's called finishing drive metric. South Alabama going into this year had one of the top defensive finishing drive metrics. And basically what it does is it tells you what an offense does when they get inside an opponent's 40 as far as their scoring is concerned, and what a defense does in denying offenses that have the ball inside that defense's 40-yard line. And South Alabama's one of the best last year going into this year. I like what they brought back. I think they bounce back and get the win here.
It feels like South Alabama, big guy, that's a team that you've supported this year as well.
Well, James Madison at times as well. I got burnt with them at Virginia where they got up big and then they let their foot off the gas and Virginia beat them. The thing I like about South Alabama is I think they had more sixth-year players returning than anyone else in the country. Really veteran team that's won over the last few years. Kane Womack, the head coach, he's developed a defense that every single year is tough to deal with in that league, and I think the Sun Belt's going to be really fun to watch down the stretch. So I like Scott's play because I think the veteran side is South Alabama, and I think they could overwhelm JMU.
You can find a 3.5. Just let you know, if you're on that South Alabama side like Scott Spreitzer, you line shop because you can find a 3.5. Let's move on. We're going to keep Scott for an extra segment today, so we'll get to the NFL coming up in just a bit. Scott Spreitzer, professionally handicapper, joining us here on Sharp Money. Hawaii off the island. They're coming to UNLV right next to where you guys are sitting. UNLV's laying 11, Scott.
I think the last time I said I'm laying double digits with UNLV, Jerry Tarkanian was coaching the basketball team. So that's how long it's been. And but I'm doing it here, guys. I really like this go-go offense. I love this offense. Brennan Marion, everybody knows about Barry Odom, and he's doing a good job. The former Missouri head coach, they're off to a 3-1 start. I love the way they look on offense. Brennan Marion is the new offensive coordinator. He's in his mid-30s. The problem with Brennan Marion that he's going to be gone in 2 or 3 years. He's going to get a real good job somewhere. He coached at William & Mary. It's like every year he had a different job at William & Mary, Howard. He actually coached the Hawaii receivers 3 years ago when they had great receivers. Their receivers had that big season. And then he goes to Pitt in 2021, and that receiving core has a great year. And one of his receivers goes on to win the Biletnikoff that season while he was there. This guy knows what he's doing. I know Doug Brumfield got hurt a few weeks ago. He's questionable again this week for the Rebels, but they won with Jaden Maiava against Vandy and then on the road against UTEP. So 3-1, 4-0 against the spread. Only loss came in Ann Arbor to Michigan, but they hung 45, 40, and 44 in their other three games, including that win over Vandy. So, listen, you can pass on UNLV. That's always a concern. I just think this offense is going to be tough for a team like Hawaii to stop. So, lay the doubles. Can you believe that? Lay the doubles with UNLV.
I like to play here, Patrick. Thomas, you look at the backfield there. Thomas and Davis have been outstanding. And more importantly, this Hawaii team is not particularly good on the offensive side. You mentioned it. They could be potentially taking advantage of the Rebels from the pass game. I just don't see the Warriors being able to do it. I think UNLV controls the ground and they control the clock. They're going to win this game. I'm going to go with Scott around a 27-13 type of win. This Warriors team just can't score.
Yeah.
I know scoring total is higher, but maybe a little bit higher for the Rebs, but still.
Beautiful. If I'm forcing you to make a play, USC lane 21 in Boulder at Colorado, Scott, which side are you on?
Is it still only 21?
21.5.
I'll take the points because USC has problems in space on defense. I don't think Colorado will win, but I'll take the points.
Yep, 21.5 is the number. You can take it with Colorado. We're coming back NFL with Scott Spreitzer.
We'll be right back. This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Listening to the big guy explain to his boss, John Goulet, that keto is great because you can drink alcohol. Well, that is something. That is something. DraftKings, you know what else is something? Sign it up right now as a new customer. Betting $5, you get $200 instantly when you use the promo code SHARP. Okay, so download the DraftKings app. Bet $5, you get $200 instantly with the promo code SHARP. DraftKings, official partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. So the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw, Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper. I'm Patrick Maher. He's on a diet, and he's over here justifying his liquor intake because the diet apparently can handle it. Is that what I heard?
Well, I've been known to develop this reputation as being a good time. And part of that good time is that I like to drink heavily and run my mouth. And I think John Goulet, who likes to partake in a few beverages with me after the show here, since there is a bar right behind me, it's a quick walk, burn some calories there. I think he was a little concerned that maybe I wouldn't be available for the drinking anymore.
Okay, I got to call out two lies immediately. First of all, this is an
people
alleged...
People love me.
That's alleged. Second thing, the bar is not a walk. You turn around and they bring the beer to you. What are you kidding me? A walk.
Two. I got a watch on. It tracks my steps. It's at least three or four steps there, three or four steps back.
And breaking news for those that haven't visited, the casinos have bars in them. Thank you, Dustin Sweetelson. We appreciate the breaking news.
I just think it's crazy they got his name on the back of the stool over here. You guys have only been down here for a month. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
It should be reserved.
And I got some news, by the way. Yeah, this is for Dustin, who likes to have a good time, and I just heard from John Goulet. It's for Amal, too, who I heard is, like, hard to keep under control when he goes out. And Stiff Little Fingers is starting a reunion tour in April, and they're going to be on the West Coast, gentlemen. Tickets on me. All right, Patrick, they're going to be in the L.A. area. Tickets on me. And I know the boys from Belfast are going to put on a heck of a show, so I just want to see Dustin crowd surfing. I know Amal will, so.
I'll tell you this.
Stiff Little Fingers on your pop. That was on your pop punk or your punk list when we did that earlier.
Yes.
First of all, I appreciate the offer, but if they want to sit down and talk about the troubles afterwards, I'm there.
I dated a girl in middle school. She only knew me as Stiff Little Fingers. She didn't even know I had a first name.
I knew it was coming. I was going to do a countdown for the Dustin joke, but I let him just do it. 3, 2, 1, here we go. All right, let's get back to the board as we've got the NFL on tap. Scott Spreitzer, look at Dustin's proud of himself.
Well,
of course he is.
So John Goulet's talking to three women right now, and I kind of want to leave the show and go over there.
Yeah, I would imagine that's going to work out well for you. Good luck. 7 minutes and 50 seconds, Dustin, until you meet your next ex-wife. Okay, the Raiders at Los Angeles. I almost said San Diego for the 1,000,000th time. It's 5.5, Scott. Are you taking it with the Raiders?
Well, I'm going to tell you this, guys. I got to start with this. I grew up with 5 siblings, all right, and a very pain in the butt, macho dad who was born in the 1920s, Midwestern German background dad with, again, 5 siblings on top of that. So what I'm trying to say here is I know dysfunction when I see it. And that's the LA Raiders, or the Vegas Raiders. There you go. I followed up your San Diego with LA.
There it is.
But, and they haven't been in LA for 50 years, right? I'm kidding. But anyway, this team has got so much dysfunction right now, and it's from top to bottom. And it starts, of course, where all snakes have their problems when things go bad, and that's, you know, at the head, at the top of the list, at the end of the body. So now Jimmy G's questionable. So what are you going to do? You're going to have O'Connell from Purdue, who, by the way, looked really good in preseason, but that was preseason. So he might play. You might have Hoyer who plays in this game if Jimmy G is unable to go. And Jimmy G's got more picks than he does touchdowns so far this season. So I know you're supposed to, like, throw that out of the mix, what happened last week, and you're supposed to move on. And listen, I know the Chargers defense, and they, you know, is not great, and they still have a coach who can make some really boneheaded moves during the course of the game. But, you know, the Raiders, besides not having a legit quarterback with Jimmy G being banged up right now, they're averaging 2 yards per carry from their best running back. It's just not good right now. The Chargers disappointing because their defense is worse than I thought it was going to be before the season began. But, guys, you know, they're 5 points away, including an overtime loss, from a 3-0 mark. And in those two losses, self-inflicted wounds did them in. I know you can only trust a coaching staff for so long, but I'm going to give them another shot here. Had them last week. I was happy to see the defense you know, stood up at the end with some help from the Vikings and got the win. But you're talking about Herbert, 74% completion rate, 6 touchdowns, no picks. They get their head straight. Even without Mike Williams, I think they go into this game and win by at least a touchdown. I just don't trust anything right now that this Raiders coaching staff touches, and I think the Chargers come through. So if you rate teams, like if you give like a +2 as an excellent coach and a -2 as a bad coach, I know we got a -1.5 with the Chargers, but we got a -2 and then some with the Raiders.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We do, and by the way, just to add to the drama, it almost feels dirty at this point to talk about what Chandler Jones is doing on Twitter, Dustin, but as Scott was talking, he's tweeting about Hunter Renfrow, his teammate. So, again, there seems to be some issues going on with Jones and ownership. McDaniels kicking the field goal down 8 on the, obviously, Steelers 4 on Sunday night. Wasn't a great look. It's a disaster right now, Amal Shaw, with the Raiders.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, you look at the defensive unit, they really can't slow down a ton of people. The coaching is what Scott alluded to has been horrific. Scott, one thing we didn't talk about real quick, Patrick and Dustin and I talked about earlier in the week, I thought it was a horrific decision on third down, sure, to call the timeout with 2:12 left. Forget the decision to kick the field goal. But, man, why offer the team a run-pass option in that scenario? Go to the other side of the two-minute warning, force them to run the ball. And it's continuous with this team. Even though, as Scott pointed out, no Mike Williams, I think this Chargers team is being a little underappreciated because of the 2 tough losses. The Miami Dolphins have gotten off to a fantastic start. And the other game, I forgot who they lost to, but
Tennessee.
Thank you. I mean, this is a team that's been right there. They were about 10 yards away from winning that football game. So I'm not going to discount them. I still don't like this defensive unit for the Chargers. I'm sorry, for the Raiders.
Oh, it's bad. I'm thinking I like laying 5.5 with the Chargers. I just don't. The Raiders offense cannot keep pace with what they're doing, even against a bad Chargers defense. I was on 2 weeks ago, Josh Allen's overpassing prop total against the Raiders. He went way over it. Last week without Austin Eckler, I was on Herbert overpassing. That went over as well. Eckler might be back this week, seeing reports a few minutes ago that he was doing some stuff at practice that he hasn't been doing. But I would also look at Justin Herbert passing props, depending on what the number is set at when it comes out, because I think he will throw all over this Raiders secondary.
And that Kellen Moore offense, which has been good, but not yet, I think, reached its potential or its peak.
I totally agree.
By the way,
and Dallas could use Dallas could use Kellen Moore. Have you seen their red zone statistics on offense? Yikes!
True.
Tomorrow night, a little prop here on Sam Laporta, the Lions tight end. You're going to go over, Scott, 41.5 receiving yards.
And I laid a little bit more juice than I'm used to. It was about $133, $135 in that range, at over 41.5, 24, 36 hours ago. One of the reasons that I liked him on Ross St. Brown, which you guys will remember on one of the shows we did this summer, I played him over 1,500 receiving yards on the year. And by the way, real quick on St. Brown, he's projected right now with what he's done thus far to finish with about 1,560 yards. So I'm just hoping he continues to stay healthy and able to play. But one of the reasons was because of Laporta, this new guy to the NFL, what he brings to this offense. He's performing even better than I thought that he would. And he gets a lot of these dump offs that turn into decent sized gains. He's averaging over 7 targets per game, 6 receptions per game, 62 receiving yards per contest. He's got 84 yards against Atlanta, 63 against Seattle. And Jamison Williams is still out. He's still serving that suspension for another 3 games. So they don't have him to take some of those potential targets away from Sam Laporta. And then I think as far as the game is concerned, even though I like Laporta over, I kind of lean towards the under here. We just found out again that, boy, he's on the injury list all the time, isn't he? Good player, but always hurt. Bakhtiari's going to be out for Green Bay again. I mean, it's just every week this guy's out. But they sacked Desmond Ridder 7 times, Detroit. They held Mahomes under 230 through the air in that opening week game. Now, I know they didn't have Kelsey. Kadarius Toney ended up dropping a bunch of passes. But the play that I like here, though, and this is for the under 30 crowd because, boy, they like props, but Sam Laporta over 41.5.
They do. They do. If you're not coming with props in 2023, are you even living, Scott Spreitzer? That is,
they love
that
it,
is
man.
The question.
That I is love the question. Some of these, too,
okay,
by the way.
Okay, boys. Yeah, no doubt. Scott, Dustin, you doing okay? Because I've noticed you've been looking in the other direction the whole entire time. Is
John,
our buddy, yeah.
John's wingman in it for me. He doesn't know he's wingman in it for me. He's entertaining. 1, 2, 3, 4 women. There is another dude there. I mean, if he's into it, I'm into it. We'll see what happens at the end of the day.
He saw John being a wingman. the other
you're
guy.
So weird.
I like whoever
you
likes
are the
me.
Weirdest.
That's kind of my rule in life.
Well, you're completely wide open. I understand. Okay, boys, under a minute to go. I just want to quickly thank Mike Palm, Mike Randall, Scott Spreitzer. You can find Scott, Doc Sports, DOCSports.com, at Scott Wins on Twitter. Always appreciate you. Amal Shah, 40 seconds. Last word on the way out.
Tell you what, man, some good opportunities in the NFL with some teasers coming up this weekend. And tell you, take these lines early if you like them, especially Detroit.
Beautiful. And big guy, wide open. What do you got?
Louisville, some books are moving to 3.5. I was able to get 3 here in town. I would lay it with the Cardinals on the road on Friday. Tomorrow or Friday? Can't remember which day it is. Either way, bet it now before it moves to 3.5. Lay it.
Scott Spreitzer, get one more pool day in. We'll see you next
Wednesday.
There you
go, man. Take care.
See you tomorrow here on Sharp Money.